How many of you, you just love to hear the alarm clock ring in the morning to get up? You like that annoying beep, beep, beep. You really like that. Well, I don't know too many people who do, and I don't like those alarm clocks. Now you have cell phones that can wake you up gradually, and they can wake you up with pretty music or whatever. But back in the day when I was growing up and using alarm clocks, it was usually just an annoying beep or maybe a buzz sound. And I didn't like that. I didn't like to wake up. I was comfortable where I was and in bed and asleep. And I don't know, I traveled quite a bit, and I would go to a hotel and spend the night, and I would call down to the front desk and I would ask for a wake-up call. And I would tell them, usually it was early because I had to catch a flight or something the next morning, so I would say, I need a wake-up call at 5 o'clock. And, oh, that phone, that ringing phone sounded so loud at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't know of too many people that like alarm clocks or wake-up calls. When I went to college, I discovered that there were alarm clocks that had a special button on it. I fell in love with that button. It was called the snooze button. And what that meant was you could, when the alarm clock rang, you could push that button and you were basically telling the alarm clock, yes, I'm going to get up, just not right now. Could you ring in another 9 minutes? That's what it was for me at God's Bible School. So I would set my alarm. I had to get up at 6. I would set my alarm for 5:24. So that I had 4 guilt-free snooze button, moments. And I knew I could, it's great to wake up in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and know you still have, 8 hours to sleep. Know that you have plenty of time to sleep. And that's kind of the way it was with this snooze button. You could hit the snooze, and then it would wait 9 minutes, you could hit it again, and when it got to 6, then you would get up. The problem was, once you do that a lot, over and over and over again, you don't wake up enough to realize how many times you've hit the snooze button, and you end up oversleeping. Well, that's what happens when we ignore the wake-up calls. And physically, humanly, we don't like to be awakened, but sometimes it's very important that we wake up. We'll miss a special appointment, or we'll sleep through something that is very meaningful to us. I remember reading about Stu Weber, who was a captain in the U.S. Army during the Vietnam conflict, and he told the story about wake-up calls that he had. Not physical wake-up calls, but spiritual wake-up calls, because the Bible says to those who are unsaved, who don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they are to awake out of sleep, the Bible says. And another place the Bible says it is high time, it is way past time to awake out of sleep, talking to those who don't know Jesus in a personal saving relationship. And so God gives us wake-up calls, and God gave Stu Weber wake-up calls. The first wake-up call was one day he was called back from an assignment. He usually flew a helicopter over the jungles of Vietnam, and that particular day his superior asked him to stay on the ground and not go on this helicopter mission. And that day the man who took his place was killed when that helicopter went down. And it fell Stu Weber's responsibility to clean out that dead soldier's locker of all of his personal belongings. And while he was doing that, he was thinking about sending his watch and his personal effects back to his wife in the United States. He thought to himself, what if that would have been me? That was his first wake-up call, he said. He knew that he wasn't ready for that moment, should it come. He said the second wake-up call sounded much louder because it landed in midair on a parachute jump that had gone bad. His buddy had jumped out in front of him, And then he jumped out and he pulled the ripcord so that his parachute would open, and it didn't. He tried and tried and tried. He even ran across the top of the parachute canvas of his buddy trying to catch air, and he never did. His parachute never opened up, and he hit the ground. And amazingly, he survived. But they took him to the hospital, and they did some tests, and in the middle of the test, they realized he had something wrong with his sternum, the bone right here in the middle of your chest. And they did some more testing, and they thought he had cancer, and they told him that. And he said, here I was in a foreign country in a hospital that I wasn't familiar with, and they were telling me I might have this deadly disease. And he said, I heard my second wake-up call. But he said, the test came back negative. No, you don't have any cancer. So he said, I pushed the snooze again. And then he said, the third wake-up call was in Dak Poco Valley, and there was a massive enemy army troop buildup right up against the U.S. Army base. And he said, I was laying in a muddy ditch, reeling from the threats of imminent combat when he finally woke up. And he said to himself, I might not be the fortunate one, the lucky one. I might be the person that is carried out of this valley in a body bag and sent back home in a silver-draped coffin. And amazingly, providentially, in God's will, he was called away to another location before the battle became fierce. And his army camp was literally blown off the face of the earth. But he said, I heard my wake-up call. And he said, I began to seek God. I began to call out to Jesus and ask him to forgive me of my sins and to save me. He said, I finally heard my wake-up call. But you know, each of us have wake-up calls, and each of us have little alarms that go off in our minds and our hearts. The Bible tells us that we're to wake up, and so God will send us wake-up calls. Sometimes wake-up calls happen in church. Sometimes wake-up calls spiritually happen when the preacher's preaching and you hear his words, but then there's another voice in your head or in your heart, and it begins to maybe point a finger at you and say, you know what, you have sinned, you have done wrong. And that's the Holy Spirit of God who knows you and created you and is trying to wake you up so that you can see your need and be saved. So tonight, real quickly, I want to give you four reasons why it is dangerous to be asleep. Are you ready? Number one, if you are asleep, it is dangerous because you are unaware of your true condition. When you're asleep, you're unaware. I remember traveling with God's Bible School Choir in a big tour bus. You could fit 50 people or so on there. And we traveled many miles a day, sometimes hours a day, going from one church to the other to sing. And sometimes it would get boring and people would sleep on the bus. These young people, all of us, would get tired, so we'd sleep. Just like you do when you're traveling to someplace far away. You sleep in the car. Well, that's what we young people did. We'd lay back in those seats, not really lay, but lay our head back on those seats and go to sleep. Well, it was one of those sleepy afternoons, and everyone was sleeping except a few people, and one of my friends nudged my arm sitting beside me, and he pointed to another one of our friends who was sleeping. And this friend who was sleeping with his mouth wide open, like that. I mean, just mouth as wide as it could be. And he looked at me, my friend did, who had elbowed me, and he kind of nodded his head and winked. And before I tell this story, I want you to know that I had nothing to do with this. I felt really bad about it. But my friend kind of did this right here, and he took off his shoe, and then he took off his sweaty sock, and he balled that sock up, and he went right up to my friend who was sleeping with his mouth open, and you guessed it, he shoved that sock in his mouth. And you know what happened, don't you? You know what happened. That guy who was sleeping, he woke up sputtering and coughing, and everybody laughed. I didn't laugh. I was very upset about things, but everyone else laughed on the bus. But the reason he was able to do that, the reason my friend was able to stuff a sweaty sock in another man's mouth was because he was asleep.
He was unaware. He didn't know that there was someone seeking to do him harm. He was unaware of his true condition. You remember the story maybe of Samson, the strongest man who ever lived. Samson was defeated when he fell asleep. And Delilah, his wife, got him to go to sleep so that he could be defeated. Years ago, I used to have a habit of falling asleep while I was driving. And I'm ashamed to say this, but I have awakened behind the wheel of a car from a dream. And thankfully, not been off the road. But many people have crashed their automobiles, and some of them have died in those crashes. Why? Because they fell asleep and they were unaware that they were going off the road and towards a concrete abutment or whatever the case may be. So it's dangerous to be asleep because you're unaware of your true condition. And it's true in the spiritual sense. If you're asleep spiritually, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus in a personal way, then you're asleep spiritually and you're unaware of your true condition. You don't know how dangerous it is for you. The second reason why it's dangerous to be asleep is because when you're asleep, you have an unreal sense of security. You maybe are dreaming pleasant dreams, and you don't know that maybe someone has broken into your house, or maybe you're sleeping in the park with the hat pulled over your head. You don't know that someone has come up to rob you of your belongings or whatever. Why? Because you're asleep and you have an unreal sense of security. Listen to me. The devil's business after you're saved, after you know Jesus, is to make you think something is wrong. But before you get saved, his job is to make you think that everything is all right. So when your conscience starts bothering you and says, you know, you shouldn't have done that, or you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have disobeyed, or you whatever, the devil will come along, Satan will come along, and he'll say, shh, 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 it's okay, just go back, it's all right. And you'll give yourself an excuse, well, I only did that because, or it's not as bad as what somebody else did. What are you doing? You're pushing the snooze button on the spiritual alarm clock. God is trying to wake you up. And in his kindness, he is beeping in your ear, trying to awaken you so you understand that you're not in a safe place. But the devil says, that's no problem. Take it easy. Everything will be fine. You remember in the Bible when Jesus, right before he was crucified, he went to a garden and he prayed, and his followers were all sleeping. It seems as though sleep is so very dangerous in a spiritual sense. The third reason why it is so dangerous to be asleep is because if you are asleep, you're unable to reason properly. I mentioned this last night in the message. When I get awakened in the middle of the night, I'm unable to reason properly. Sometimes I won't even understand the conversation, and I'll end up saying something to my wife or whoever it is that has awakened me. The reason is because I can't reason properly. I'm not really fully awake, and so I say things that don't make sense. And exactly. That's exactly right. And you wake up and you say something random, or you think something is... Have you ever awakened in the middle of the night and forgotten where you are? Yeah, you wake up and you're like, where am I? What's going on? And why? Because you're not fully awake. You're still in that slumber and sleep mode. And it's dangerous to be asleep and make choices. Try to decide for yourself when you're asleep spiritually because you're unable to reason properly. I have friends of mine who pastored a church. He was a pastor in Michigan. And his family was all sick. They had all strangely fallen sick at the same time. Their little baby daughter was sick, and his wife was sick, and he was sick. And they had just kind of been in bed most of the day, a couple days, and had not been able to get out much. The conference president called, and Julie answered the phone, and she said, Brother Brueger, I'm sorry, but Chris is so sick, and he's asleep. And Brother Brueger, our conference president at the time, said, well, don't worry, but let him sleep, and hope you all get to feeling better. And she hung up the phone, and then Wednesday night came around. Well, Wednesday night, just like here, was a church service, and all the people came, but the pastor was nowhere to be found. And so they thought that was a little strange, and they walked up to the house where the pastor lived right next to the church, and they knocked on the door. And they waited and waited and waited, and they knocked again. And finally, Chris, my friend, comes to the door, and he opens the door, and his eyes are blurry, and he's kind of, you know, bobbling back and forth like this. And they say, "Pastor, it's time for church, and we're making sure you're all right." And he said, "Oh, yes, church, okay, yes." And so they closed the door and went down and waited for their pastor to come to church, and he never came. And they did a little service themselves, and they were all leaving when someone, just right before the last person left, said, "You know, something's not right. This isn't like our pastor to miss a church service." So they went back up to his house, and this time they knocked urgently. And this time, instead of, you know, when you're knocking on a door, you kind of look away and give people some, you don't want to just peer into their house. But this time they were looking, and finally they saw their pastor coming down the hallway, and he was weaving, and he was stumbling, and they knew something was wrong. And so they opened the door, and they got Chris and Julie and their little baby daughter, and they rushed them to the emergency room, and where the doctor ran some tests and found out that they had been poisoned by a carbon monoxide leak in their house. And the doctor said, had they spent one more night in that house, they would have all died by the next morning. But Chris, my pastor friend, came to the door, and the church people said, "Come down for church." And he couldn't reason properly that it was time for him to go to church, so he goes back to bed. What was happening? He wasn't fully awake. He was asleep, and as such, he was unable to reason properly. You know, there's a story in the Bible about a man who was unable to reason properly. If an angel of God came to you tonight, and he were, I don't know what angels look like exactly, but every time an angel appeared in the Bible, the people who saw them, the Bible says they were afraid. So my guess is that they're big, that they're tall, that they have something about them that's not menacing, but it's very, they get your attention. And you realize this isn't just another human being. This is something different. And can you imagine if an angel of God, and you knew it was an angel of God, came to your house and said, "Everybody in your house is wicked except you, and God is going to destroy this house tonight." How many of you would say, "Oh, I don't, man, I've gotten so comfortable here in this house"? You wouldn't do that, would you? If God, an angel of God, told you that. And yet, in the Old Testament, there's a story about angels of God coming to a man named Lot in a city called Sodom. And the Bible says that the angels literally had to drag Lot out of the city, even though he knew that God's judgment was falling on that city. What was wrong with Lot? I think he was asleep spiritually, and he couldn't reason properly. He had become so accustomed to the sin and perversion around him that he didn't understand what it meant by God's judgment raining down where he lived. And he had to be pulled out of that judgment. If you're asleep, it's dangerous, because when you're asleep, you are unwilling to be awakened. I told last night that as a young teenager, I used to hate when Dad would come in and wake me up to go to school. How many love to have someone wake you up to go to school? You just love that. Well, I don't think anyone does, right? And I didn't like it either. And, I wanted to stay in bed for as long as I could, and I wanted to sleep for as long as I could. What was going on? I was asleep, and I was unwilling to be awakened. And I sometimes would do that until my dad would come in and say, "No more, get up now." Yeah, and I knew what I had to do then. I had to get up, or something really, really serious was going to happen. The sad part is that maybe you, but many people have been warned. Maybe you've been warned here at church or in Sunday school or in the I don't know what you call tonight, the kids club. Maybe you've heard the story about how Jesus died on the cross and how there's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you trust Jesus and live for him, you go to heaven. But if you reject Jesus when you die, then you go to hell. I don't know what all you've heard, but listen to me. If you've heard that story, then you have heard God's alarm clock go off in your spiritual ears. And now you have a choice to make. And it's dangerous to stay away from God. It's dangerous to not come to Jesus and be forgiven of your sins and ask Jesus to be your Savior. It's dangerous because when you're asleep spiritually, you're unaware of your true condition. You don't know how serious things are and how negative things are in your life. And it's dangerous because you might have an unreal sense of security. Maybe the devil has you dreaming big dreams about what you're going to do, what your plans are. I'm going to do this and that and the other. But you don't realize that you're not safe until you've found Jesus. Maybe you're asleep spiritually and you're not able to reason properly and you need to be awakened, but you're unwilling to be awakened. Can I tell you that every person here tonight has heard the voice of God? He's given wake-up calls to every single one of us. Now, you haven't heard the voice of God like you're hearing my voice tonight, but you have heard him speak to you. If your heart feels bad tonight, if your mind is concerned, if you have a question as to whether or not you would go to heaven if you die, then that's more than likely the voice of God that is speaking to you and trying to awaken you. And if you're asleep spiritually, sometimes you can't really understand what somebody is saying to you. But it's in your best interest to wake up spiritually tonight and say, Lord, I don't want to be asleep spiritually. I want to be awake so that I can know who I am and who you are. The Bible says, awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let me just finish tonight with this little story about a light. Three hunters went to the woods one morning together in their pickup truck to hunt. They all went separate ways, and they agreed that at a certain time in the day, they would meet back at the pickup truck. And so they all found their own tree stands or wherever they were going to be to hunt the deer that day. And the time came to meet back at the pickup truck, and two of the hunters came back, but the third one did not. And so they waited for a few minutes, 15, 20 minutes, and then they decided that maybe he was lost. And so they started honking the horn on the truck. Maybe that would orient this man that was lost in the woods. They even shot their guns a couple times in the air to maybe that would he would hear that and follow the sound. And he didn't come, and it was getting dark. In fact, it was dark. And they were very worried now. And so they got in their pickup truck and they drove into town, and they went into a store somewhere and told the store clerk the situation. And he said, there's a man that knows these woods better than anyone else that I know. And he gave him the address to the man and to the man's house, and they went there, and they, of course, again, they knocked on his door, and he came to the door, and they said, our friend is lost in the woods. We've been hunting all day, and he's lost, and we can't do anything to help him get out. And what do you suggest? And the man said, these woods are the most dense. They're terrible. If you're lost in these woods, it's a very, very slim possibility that you'll find your way out by yourself. They're very, very dangerous. He said, the only thing I know to tell you to do, is to find the highest place you can find, a hill or whatever, and get the brightest light you can find, and shine that light into the section of woods where you think your friend is. So they did that. They went to the store. They bought one of those big light, spotlight type things that was million wattage or whatever, just really bright. And they drove up to a hill overlooking where the part of the woods where they thought their friend was. And they started shining that light over those trees and the bushes and all of that. Slowly that light would go back and forth, and they searched. They looked for any sign of movement, anything that would indicate that their friend was there, and nothing. They heard nothing. They saw nothing. And they did this over and over, back and forth, and they were just about ready to give up and turn off the light and despair of finding their friend when they heard something. And they stopped and they listened and they heard it again. And they continued to shine the light. And then they heard that it was a voice. And then they recognized it as their friend's voice, and he was hollering out to them, "Keep the light on. Keep the light on." And they did. They kept shining that light. They shined it until finally, stumbling out of the woods, came their friend. And he ran towards them. And of course, they were so happy to see him. He had been found. But that man who was lost was found because someone kept the light on. And I came tonight to talk to especially you young people and to be a light, to shine a light into your forest, into your woods, and to remind you and to tell you that God says it's time to wake up. If you hear the voice of God tonight, if you're troubled in your heart, if you don't know that your sins are forgiven and that you are ready to go to heaven, if you don't have a personal saving relationship with Jesus, then tonight you're getting another wake-up call. An alarm is ringing. And it's not because God wants your life to be miserable. No, he understands that as long as you're asleep, you're in danger. But when you're awake, you can see clearly and think properly and understand what to do. And tonight the Bible says that if you confess your sins to God, you don't have to confess them to anyone else, but if you confess your sins to God in prayer, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you, make you clean. That's God's promise. And so here's what I want us to do. I wonder if our sister could come to the piano. And I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. We're not going to wait a long time. But maybe there's someone here tonight who would say, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I am a Christian. I don't know if my sins have been forgiven. Or maybe there's someone here who says, you know, I know that I'm not pleasing to God. I know that I need to be saved. As she plays, maybe there'd be someone here who would just get up and come down here to this altar right here and kneel down and we'll pray with you before you go home. And we'll ask Jesus to forgive you, and you can leave here tonight knowing that you're awake spiritually, knowing that you're ready for heaven. Anyone like that? Who'll be brave enough just to step out from where you are and maybe in front of your friends and just say, you know what, I want to know for sure. Come ahead. That's right. Just kneel down. Kneel down here. And this is a time for you all to, in your heart and your mind, to just call out to God and to pray. You can say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. You can say these words in your heart and mind. If you don't know how to pray to God, if you don't know what to say tonight, you can simply mean this from your heart. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I want to be forgiven of my sins. And I confess them to you. You can take a moment even right now to just list to the Lord the things that you're feeling bad about. Maybe you have lied or you've stolen or you've cheated or you've disobeyed in some way. You've been disrespectful to authority in your life. I don't know, but you just take the time right now in your mind and heart to list out those things that you know you want to be forgiven for and tell Jesus, Jesus, I know you promised to forgive me of my sins and I want to be a follower of you, Lord Jesus. I want you to come in and I want you to make me what I ought to be by your grace. And he promises to do that tonight. He's promised that if you will confess to him, he will forgive you. And the Bible says that if you do this, that his grace will make you a new creature, that you'll be a different person. Not because you've said some magic words tonight, but because in your heart of hearts you have confessed and you have told the Lord, I want to be saved. And you've promised him, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to serve you. So let's do that right now. I'm just going to pray. And while I'm praying, you can pray the same words I'm praying or pray your own words, okay? So let's close our eyes and let's focus on what we've come here tonight to do. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take us just as we are. We come to you just as we are without one plea of goodness in ourselves, Lord. It's not what we've done good, but it's what you have done, dying on the cross for our sins. And we thank you for it. Thank you for shedding your blood, for allowing yourself to be crucified so that I wouldn't have to face judgment and that I could live a life full of hope and happiness. Forgive me, Lord, of all of my sins. Lord, I promise to follow after you and to serve you. Lord, help me to live like you want me to live. And by faith, Lord, in faith, I just believe what your word says, what the Bible says, that you will forgive me, that you will wash me and make me the person that you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me tonight. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. We ask these things, Lord, in your name, for your glory. Amen. Amen. You can return to your seats. Let's all stand together. Could we sing that chorus together? Is that in a good key for us to sing? Let's sing Into My Heart.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in.
I want to sing it one more time, and you can make this your prayer, even where you are. Sing it again.
Into my heart,
into my heart,
into my,
come into my heart,
come into my,
Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
come in today,
come in to,
come in to stay,
come in to stay,
come into my heart,
come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we believe you've been here tonight and you've talked to us and we've heard your call. Thank you for those who have responded tonight. And I pray that in your own way, Holy Spirit, that you would guide and direct and empower and enable and help these young men and women who have prayed tonight to follow you and be all that you want them to be. We thank you for the victory that has been won tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.